Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I'm very excited to be connecting this podcast today to the other side of the globe for a conversation with Australian entertainer Rhonda Birchmore and big band leader Jack Earl. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Ken. So
thanks
lovely.
Thanks for having us. Yay. It's very exciting.
Rhonda, I have to ask you first, is that how you prefer to be introduced as Australian entertainer? I know there's actress, there's singer. I wasn't quite sure what you'd preferred.
Well, I've been in the business for 40 years, Ken, and I've done a bit of everything, but music is my, singing is my kind of my most favorite thing. So that covers it all, saying entertainer, because it covers, you know, a bit of everything I've done.
And you've had, and I don't mean to say had like it's past and over, but what an amazing career you've had up to now, appearing with Mickey Rooney and Sugar Babies, Anthony Newley, David Adkins in the in Hot Shoe Shuffle, and so many other roles, even with Jeffrey Rush in The Drowsy Chaperone. How is it that you went through all of that and landed on Christmas album in 2022?
Well, Ken, you know, ever since I was little, I've always loved Christmas. Christmas was really special in the Birchmore household. We always had Christmas music, and we especially loved big band Christmas music, and it's something, even though I've been in the business, as you said, for 40 years, and I've been on so many, you know, carols by candlelight around Australia, and I even did one in Germany one year, but I have never recorded a big band album. And short of it is, the last 2 years have been horrific for everyone, and Jack Earl and I are, you know, mates. And one day we said, oh my gosh, I'd love to do a Christmas album. And I think Jack didn't even realize that I hadn't recorded any music. So began this absolute, dream to do this album, and finally released this year of a big band Christmas song. So it's a long, long way there, but yeah, got there.
Jack, I have to ask, on your website, it says that you formed your big band and got things rolling when you were 12. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's good. I thought that was really normal behavior. I was always playing the piano, and I played the trumpet as well as a little youngster. And in sort of an effort to get me to, I wasn't really keen on practice. And in an effort to get me to play a bit more often and play with an ensemble, I went to a little community brass band, which is still going and has been going for about 150 years, and they turned into a bit of a swing orchestra and a jazz band. And my dad is also a musician, a saxophone player and clarinet player. My mum was a piano player, and she's a piano teacher. My sister's a wonderful musician, classical and sacred music, and it was just all around. And so it was really normal to me to make bands and direct ensembles and write music, because it was so standard in our household. And so, yeah, I thought at 12 it was a good idea. And so this community band used to run a festival once a year to celebrate local community big bands. And one year they asked me if I'd like to put together an ensemble, and I said yes, and I haven't been able to shake it since.
And it's a good thing.
I get rid of it.
And you've got quite a resume yourself, lots of theater credits. Dream Lover, Evita, The Who's Tommy, Kiss of the Spider Woman. How did the two of you get together?
Did we?
Well, can I tell you, I was doing a gig, and I did a song, Too Darn Hot, and with another big band. And I said to Daryl, who was in charge of that, I said, who wrote that chart? It's fantastic. And he said, oh, it's a young guy called Jack Earl. So I thought, wow, I have to. And he said he's got a big band. So I went and saw Jack and his big band play. And then Jack asked me to do.
We did a gig. It was our 10th anniversary performance.
10th anniversary. Jack was all of what? 22. And I did some songs. Immediately fell in love with Jack. Ken, he's like old school, like just the ability he has to and the correctness, the fabulous of the band for someone so young to do those old classics. And I thought this is a match made in heaven. So that's so. How long ago is that?
Five, 6 years ago. Yeah.
And I've snapped him up. He does a lot of musical theatre shows. We're currently doing Hairspray together, as well as this. Jack's been doing a lot of my musical direction of cabaret concerts throughout the world, and certainly here in Australia, and playing fabulously.
Jack, this is not the first Christmas release you've been connected to. You worked on David Campbell's album, Baby, It's Christmas, right?
Sure did. I started working with David through Dreamlover, the musical, which I wrote the orchestrations for, which was also a big band show. We had an 18-piece band on stage. And so I got to know David through that process, and was lucky enough to... get a call from the wonderful Chong Lim to play on his Christmas album, and we had a wonderful time making it. It was a wonderful selection of songs and classic arrangements and wonderful band. And David is the consummate performer and the ultimate professional. He's always a pleasure to work with. Always a great time.
And Rhonda, you actually released a Christmas single a couple years ago, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." Oh. Was that sort of the beginning of this project?
Yeah, well, this was, as we were saying, the last 2 years have just been like a blur with, we were in the most lockdown city in the world here in Melbourne. So it was Jack and I's plan to do the big band album that year that was released. And when we couldn't do that, we were allowed here in Australia to visit one friend. That's how bad it was. So Jack came over and we recorded this one single because there was a lot of love out there for people couldn't believe that I hadn't done, an album. And I think, we released it as a kind of gift to our fans. And then from there, Jack had the incredible, we had a bit of time on our hands to come up with these incredible arrangements that he tailored for me and reimagined, your typical American songbook songs for Christmas, but kind of turn them on their head. And we finally, after 6 or 7 cancellations, got a window of time to go into Alan Eaton's a very old recording studio with a lot of history here in Melbourne, with the whole band as one. And that was pretty special.
It's very special. It just doesn't happen anymore. Like, to find a room of that size, Alan Eaton's the credits are miles long, but one of their main sort of gigs these days is the recording studio. Really is a dying art form, I'm afraid. But lots of film scores get made at Alan Eaton Studios because they can fit the full orchestra in. So there's not many recording studios in Melbourne left that can fit the full 18-piece, 20 people in the one space. And I was pretty adamant that we record all together to get that energy and to get that so we're all breathing the same air and all in the same mindset, in the same energy of the space. And Alan Eaton's has that sort of funky, it's got a bit of a funky smell, and the carpets are a bit stained,
and there's rats running around, and it's damp because it's just, and with no one being in there. But it was so exciting, and as Jack said, that was his wish. I mean, so many people through COVID did their projects remotely from their home studios and bits and pieces, but to have the whole unit in it, if I can say, Ken, there were tears amongst these grown men when they actually played live together as a group, because this was the first time on this album that they played together in 2 years. And I think when you listen to the tracks, you can hear the joy of and the absolute aliveness, if that's a word, yeah. of the energy of Jack and the band and myself.
That definitely comes across. I mention this every once in a while on this podcast that you can tell when you're listening to a Christmas album or just a single, even you can tell if somebody's phoning it in or if it's real, if there's heart there. And I like to say that, you know, I listen to songs on this album and I believe you. It's sounds real. There is joy there for the season. It's not that you were contractually obligated to do a Christmas album. Let's do this and get it over with and be done. It doesn't, you know, it has that real feel. And it's a very, I don't want to say eclectic, because that's sometimes has a bad connotation, but it's a varied list of songs that are on this. And I'm just curious how you arrived at these. Did both of you sort of pick and choose? Did you narrow it down? How did you come up with the songs that you chose?
Well, I had a few that had to be on there, Ken. There was Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That was there for sentimental reasons. My favorite all-time song ever since I heard Judy Garland do it way back when. We went through, I mean, I am like not as much as you, Ken, but I have got like a huge collection of Christmas music. And I went through my favorites and Jack went through, you know, his too. And I think what took my breath away was that there's a song called The Christmas Blues. Right. And I went, and you may know better than me who I think Dean Martin could have recorded it, but not many people have done that one. And I said to Jack, let's do that. And then he came back with this extraordinary, it was like a Harry Connick Jr. New Orleans march.
Yeah, New Orleans funeral sort of vibe. It was. I thought it was very important that we, you know, we're certainly not the first people to do a Christmas album, and how easy it would be to just do a copy of the classics and churn them out again and again and again. I felt that this had to be original and it had to be special and it had to be unique, because otherwise there's no point making a Christmas album.
And the other thing too, Ken, if I can hop in, we had no budget. Jack and I, we produced it ourselves. So we're not looking at someone like, and I love him to bits, trust me, someone like Michael Bublé or even David Campbell that have got so much. You know, this is what the record company are going to give them as a kind of, you know, base.
They've got something behind them. They've got a budget to work with, to hire the band and to write the charts and to spend time in the studio recording it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Michael Bublé's probably got millions of dollars. Well, he certainly has in his bank. But, you know, in terms of and time to do that, we recorded this whole thing in the musicians were there two or three days. So I think the result that we got, I mean, it was a labor of love for so many of those musicians and the incredible sound engineer, Ross Cockle, who did it all for Mates Rates. And
that's what gives it so much heart is the fact that we weren't in it to make a buck. Yeah. We were clearly not in it to make any money because we fronted up all the cash ourselves to make this happen. And it was very much a passion project and a labor of love, as Rudy said.
Well, The Christmas Blues was a standout to me because for all the reasons that you said, I know Dean Martin recorded it. I'm sure others have since then, but it's rare. You know, Jingle Bell Rock is on, you know, every other Christmas album that comes out every year. So is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas.
All I Want for Christmas, yeah.
But The Christmas Blues, I don't even remember the last time I saw that on one. So that got my curiosity up right away, and then nestled in here between Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and Let It Snow is Merry Christmas Everybody, originally by Slade. Not one you would think would be on a big band Christmas album, but you guys make it work.
Yes, I know. I surprised because someone said Slade and they were this punk rock group, and I listened to their version the other day in the 70s, and it went number one, and you know, my goodness, you know, Jack's turned it on its head, and a lot of the younger people, it's their favorite song on the album.
I thought that was terrific, and when I saw it on there, I thought it must be another song because I can't imagine that that's what it is. And that's what it was. It was terrific. Cool Yule, another great song that you don't hear very often. And that's another one that really lends itself to the big band interpretation. What a terrific choice. I feel like there's probably songs that you wanted to do that didn't quite make the cut.
I can't really remember. There were probably we kind of up and down about a few of them. I mean, your standard ones. What I love, one of the other favorite ones is what Jack has done with it, and my interpretation is "Let It Snow." I love that because that's kind of usually, as you know, a jaunty little, you know, "Oh, the weather outside," which it is here in Australia, frightening at the moment. But to take it back to a very slow, you know, by the fire with an eggnog type of thing, I think that is one of my favorites. You know, but in Winter Wonderland, I mean, we did have a few, and I love New Year, What Are You Doing New Year's Eve, mashed up with a bit of Auld Lang Syne in there as the last track too.
Yeah, I think what was so important was the originality thing for me anyway, was there's only so many ways you can do Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And, yeah. You know, I love that song, and we have a big band version of it that we do, you know, every year reliably, and it's a crowd pleaser, and that's wonderful. But it was in order to have that slight point of difference whilst also still being classics that you know and love and something that everyone can enjoy and sing along to, it had to, for me, it really did have to be that slightly, for want of a better word, unusual and original sort of flavour to it.
The one that I thought he absolutely blew my mind, that I wasn't that keen to be on the album, but my gosh, it's our leading track, is because I'd played Auntie Mame twice, and We Need a Little Christmas, of course, Jerry Herman's song, which I could only ever imagine it as this oompa, oompa, oompa. And then Jack has turned it into this extraordinary thing that opens with a version of Deck the Halls into this really fast swing version of We Need a Little Christmas. So I thought, my gosh, that is genius, Jack. So we've whacked that as the first track on.
One of the things that I really love about this album, and I feel like the album's called A Red Hot Swingin' Christmas. I'm not sure I have said that so far. I keep referring to it as the album. But one of the things that I really like about this is that there are so many albums that come out and they're background noise. They're wallpaper. You put them on while you're having a party and there's music in the background, but you're not paying attention to it. It's just sort of on. And this album demands your attention. It's the star of the party. You put this on and everybody wants to hear all of these songs because they come right out of the speaker and they make you want to dance and they make you want to celebrate the season. And it's just, I don't know if that's really what you were thinking or what was going into that, but that was my reaction. This isn't something that's in the background. This is something you pay attention to.
That is the nicest compliment. Lovely, can we quote that, my darling heart? Because that is just it's just all so new for us. We only released it, as you know, last week. So to get this kind of feedback is just wonderful.
You're very welcome. And you know, for whatever it's worth, if you want to use a quote from me, that's fine. But I get about 1,000 Christmas songs sent to me every year. And most of them are, you know, like you were saying, that nobody uses studios anymore. So many people make these at home, and so many of them you can tell. This is somebody who did Jingle Bell Rock in their garage, and it sounds like that, and it sounds like they need some lessons, and you know. And then there will be others that I get that are by name bands, name artists, and it's almost like a paint by numbers of Brenda Lee or Bobby Helms or Nat King Cole or somebody else, you know, almost down to the second. There's nothing about them that makes that song sound like this artist that you know. It could be, if you didn't know who it was, it could be anybody. But you listen to tracks from your album and they don't sound like everybody else. And there's heart in them, and they're fun, and they're songs you know, and they're songs that you know, but you didn't expect to be there. And it's all, it's a Christmas party. It is a Red Hot Swingin' Christmas.
Oh, yay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, that makes us feel very good.
I know you said you're both on the road with Hairspray, but also trying to promote this album. Are you doing Christmas concerts?
We are doing one huge one, and I hope your listeners will hear it back in Australia, or if they're coming into Australia, we're doing a huge one December the 4th at the Palms at Crown, which is a big casino. It's a very big room. It's like an old Vegas showroom with booths, and it is superb for this concert with, you know, and we've got the full 20,
the full 18,
18 yeah, 20 yeah. piece band. And I think that is, it's just the cost of it, Ken, is so prohibitive to try to tour that many if we're it by ourselves. So we're doing that. We're doing Adelaide. We're also doing some regional Victoria. And hopefully, you know, Christmas comes every year. Hopefully someone will get behind us, and we'll be able to do what we love so much with a full complement of the musicians maybe next year.
I'm not sure which one of you had mentioned it, but I think you're both involved with Carols by Candlelight. Is that right?
Yes. I was kind of like a mainstay for Carols by Candlelight at the Maya Music Bowl for many, many, many years. And then Jack's been...
I've been doing a few arrangements and a few performances as well with the wonderful David Campbell, who we mentioned earlier last year, and a few arrangements for some wonderful local talent, Anthony Kalia and...
Casey Donovan.
It's wonderful. It's a huge orchestra and a huge production, and it's one of those wonderful traditions that every year everyone gathers around the TV and watches
as they do their brand. Yeah. I'm doing this year, if any of your listeners, I'm doing Carols in the Domain, which is Sydney's answer to Carols by Candlelight. So that goes the week before the one in Melbourne. So, as I said, it's my favourite time, the candles out and you get in the most glorious gowns, and it's just a wonderful thing of bringing family and friends together, and especially if it's a nice evening, because it's always outdoors.
Especially in Melbourne, it can be a bit of a, unpredictable weather event.
So you're on the road now with Hairspray, and you've got a Christmas concert coming up, and Carols by Candlelight is coming up. What's next on either of your agendas past that, or is it just time to get a nap and catch up?
Well, this year has been crazy busy for us, because everything was just halted the last 2 years. I continue with Hairspray on a national tour. I go to Adelaide, and then I go to Sydney, and then I go to Spain for a couple of weeks.
Ooh,
oh, I know.
All right.
I know. You'd like to come, Jack. So, and I'm not sure what, and Jack?
I'm musically directing the Rocky Horror Show, which is going on tour next year for about 7 or 8 months, and we're going to go around and do the Time Warp.
And Hugh, do you know Hugh Sheridan? I don't know if you do. He's a fine actor. He sent me a note yesterday. He's desperate to do an album with us next year.
Oh, fabulous.
So Let's do it. So, I just, as you said, you know, I've recorded 5 albums in my time, Ken, and I think, I don't know if it was just, I just think the connection, the relationship between Jack gets me, and vice versa with the writing, and it's my, I would say it's my finest recording that I've done in my career. So I'm so thrilled with this album.
Any chance, and don't hate me for asking, any chance there would be a Red Hot Swingin' Christmas 2 somewhere down the road?
Wow. Absolutely, definitely. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we could get maybe a few guests duets on there as well. Because I think this is just kind of putting our toe in the water. And as I said, we went, how many dollars have we got? We have none, but we just did. And the interesting thing with this, we sent off one track to the ABC, and you know how diabolical the music scene is in terms of, people getting big budgets for especially unknown or very, small individuals. And they picked it up after listening to one track. So picked it up to distribute it, not give us hundreds of thousands of dollars, but certainly the belief to distribute and put it out there and produce it and, market it, which is we're so grateful for.
I know this is a little bit off topic, Rhonda, but I have to ask, you produced and co-wrote and starred in Absolutely Fabulous a few years ago. Was this the first? Was this the first production that you had all of those roles in?
Probably all those roles. Yes, because I'd done a lot of cabaret, I'd done a lot of musical theatre, but actually, yes, and it was frightening. And it was Jack actually did the music because, of course, ABBA is a specific sound. And I got together. I was in the original Mamma Mia with Lara Mulcahy back in 2000 here in Australia. And everyone loves ABBA in Australia, and we are besties, and we decided to take our own thing on, but not only to play and sing, but to market it and to organise the accommodation, the travel, the publicity. And that's scary when you go out there and you're kind of counting how many people are in the audience rather than just see if you're going to lose your shirt rather than, having a good time. But I wouldn't have, it was successful, that one. So, it was my first toe in the water. But mind you, I guess if you sit around waiting for people to say, I'm going to give you this money or this opportunity, I'd be 105, I think. I think both of us, we're very proactive in finding projects and making them happen.
The new album is great. I'm glad that you guys stuck your toes in the water to do this, and I hope there's more. Rhonda, what's the best way for people to keep up with you?
The best way is rhondabirchmore.com, and that is got all my concert dates, and it's also a website. If I will sign and send CDs out. I need to put a bit more than $3 postage if it's going to the States, but that's what I do. RhondaBirchmore.com for all those kind of things that people can see what I'm up to, for sure. And Instagram and same handle, and Twitter and all of that. And Jack?
Same, JackEarl.com, and Instagram, JackJackEarl, and Facebook, the Jack Earl Big Band and the Jack Earl Trio. I'm always updating with gigs and recordings and videos and all that sort of stuff, because that's the nature of the beast. We gotta keep everyone informed.
I'll make sure to put links in the show notes for this so everybody can easily find you both. Before I let you go, is there anything that you can think of about the new Christmas album that you wished I had asked about or that we somehow missed?
Can I just say, Jack, in the writing, he has his other thing. I'll be his agent here.
Thank you.
But he has the Jack Earl Trio, and as well as the big band. And these musicians, Kieran Rafferty on drums and Patrick Smithley on bass, are like his mainstay around most of the year with gigs and stuff like that. They played on the album. What Jack did was not only write solos for all his favorite musicians, and I think that's the other thing. There are a lot of instrumentals in there, and it really showcases these extraordinary talents of these local Melbourne musicians. And especially you listen to The Man with the Bag, and that's of course Patrick on the bass, and in Cool Yule, who have we got on trumpet?
Matt Jodrell. He recently moved back from New York. He's an absolute monstrous trumpet player, just an absolute star.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky to be surrounded by wonderful musicians who not only say yes to one gig or to one recording session, but I've been playing with this trio for 6-7 years, maybe even a little longer. I've been playing, so some people in the big band who've been there since day one. And the loyalty, I am very fond of it, and I'm very grateful to those wonderful musicians.
And I think that shows, and that's the reason why these guys did it, as I said, for next to nothing. It was just a project full of heart and joy, and we're thrilled to have it finally out there. And I reckon watch this space with Jack Earl too. I have to do the red hot swinging Christmas too before he gets snapped up in New York or somewhere over the world.
Well, when you listen to this, you can definitely get that sense that everybody involved is having a good time, that there's nobody there who is looking for a paycheck or doing this because they have to be there. Yeah, that certainly comes across. Red
the
hot
last
swing.
Thing I was going to say, sorry, Ken, was going to say to you, darling heart, apart from my website, they can stream it. That's probably the way that all our international friends can do on all good platforms.
Spotify, Apple Music, all those sort of things. They're on anywhere you get your music, you can get it.
Well, everybody does enjoy the instant gratification today. So that's... It's a Red Hot Swingin' Christmas, Rhonda Birchmore and the Jack Earl Big Band. Rhonda, Jack, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
And thank you so much, Ken. And thank you for finding us, because you seeked us out, and we are so thrilled that we've met you and that you are supporting us. And to all your listeners, hello, Merry Christmas.
Very grateful. Thank
Happy
you so
holidays.
Much, Ken.
We're so grateful.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. The new season is underway, of course. You can hear Rhonda and Jack's new album on there, along with lots of other new music. So anytime you need a little musical Christmas spirit, just head on over to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also find our app in the Google Play Store and take the music with you wherever you go. As far as this podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites. So if you didn't find us on your favorite today, just search for the Sounds of Christmas wherever you download and listen to podcasts, and I'm pretty sure you'll find our tree. Then you can subscribe and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.